On this week's episode of the Team Calvert for Game podcast, we go into Andrew and his top 32 Blue Eyes deck profile from YCS Sydney. We talk about the DDD structure deck, other things from YCS Sydney such as the top 32, and just some general questions that we got from emails. We are Team Calvert for Game. Hold up.
Hey. And I'm Bragg, and I'm joined here today by Logan.
Howdy.
And the champ that runs the camp, Andrew.
Hey, yes, Charles.
What's going on?
Hey, nothing much, nothing much. Well, it's just a nice old warm night here post-YCS Sydney. Of course, we're Australian, if you can't tell by accents, and most of you should already know that. And you can...
G'day.
Before we jump right into all that business, follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, all the like. Twitch, maybe. I'm not sure if we can get Lachlan back in the streaming. I'm pretty sure he should do it. Do it, man.
No.
And, yeah, oh, and also emails at teamcfg@gmail.com. Oh, also, probably should address, we took a summer break. I quit the channel and then realized I like doing this podcast, so I'm going to do it again.
All right, so all that and the other YCS preparation, of course, too, so.
Yeah, it was, also, it was a really dead summer for news. Like, coming out of it, it was only the erratas and an OCG ban list, and none of them affect us until March, so we can talk about that then.
Yeah, we're going on to a like a five month format. So,
things are pretty.
We've got 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
We've got 3 weeks.
Oh no.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's been the same format for like 5 months now.
Yeah, we have. Well,
it is for 3 weeks. Mate, get keen.
No, we got end of November, start of November, whenever that pack was. Anyway, so how was our week in Yu-Gi-Oh?
bit of a loaded question, isn't it?
Yeah. All right.
Was very good.
All right, so I mean, we'll get my stuff out of the way because I was uneventful. Paleo mirrors suck. That was my weekend. How was your week, Logan? How are you happy? How do locals
I
go
don't...
for you?
On Tuesday, I think I did pretty subpar with my APC because I didn't play the same build I played at YCS. On the Thursday, I played a different build, that build I took to YCS, and I went X1. And then on the YCS event, I came 64th and lost on the bubble to Michael Duke, who won the whole YCS event. So congrats to him, and I wish you hadn't beaten me, because then I could have topped 32. So, fuck yeah.
Actually, yeah, that logic follows. And Andrew, the man of the hour, how was yours?
Jeez. So start of the week on the Tuesday, I believe I came second to Blake on the Tuesday night. And then Thursday, I came third, only conceding one loss to Paleos on the Thursday night. And then brought home Wollongong's first top at top 32 at YCS with Blue Eyes. 7-0 day on, undefeated. And then it all kind of came crashing down a little bit on day two, but still managed to get into the top 32 and... You know, I was happy with that. I wanted to go further, but that's where it ended.
Yeah, I said it yesterday on the train that you mean you like the crash is you crash where you're meant to do. You're like you're meant to give up a few on day two, if at all, and then you know because I mean at least you didn't go 10-0, you would have ended up in the same spot. Right?
Yeah, true. I felt sorry for that. I forget what he, Bradley, I think his name was, the guy who went 10-0. Forgive me if I'm incorrect. I can't remember everyone's name. But yeah, he was my first loss on day two. He went on to go 10-0. But sadly, he, I believe, lost in top 32, same as I did. So undefeated versus a few losses, but all ended up the same. So bit of a rough system, but that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Once you get to the top 32, it doesn't matter what you did in Swiss. As long as you're there, anyone can win.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It could have been you, but you were shit.
Could have been any of the 32, but yes, that's true. I'm pretty bad.
Couldn't have been the 64th.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, you turn to Blue Eyes, like, so how many, you, like, I mean, so you won every die roll, right? I think you said that yesterday.
In a manner of speaking, I never lost the die roll. I actually lost the high roll 9 out of 11 games, in which case my opponents always chose to go first, and that was always fine with me. Generally I was just expressionless or kind of just tried to act like I was keeping it cool. Or in fact, inside I'm like, well, thanks for digging your own grave and, let's proceed.
Was there any, when you did win the role, was there any reactions to you choosing to go second?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think people thought I was retarded. They literally were like, they gave me this kind of look like, are you sure you said that right? Like, and then you shortly after this kind of stoked look in their eyes, like, I can't fucking believe it. This guy's letting me, you know, basically give me the free win.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later, they seemed to kind of be like, okay, this is kind of why.
And, it yeah, makes sense. I don't know.
But anyway, and so like, and a good reason why they would be saying that they're like, why the shocks was is the general outlay of the tournament was something else. Well, I mean, a bit strange. I think other Yugi tubers have used more colourful words and language.
We didn't play Paleozoic.
So the total, we'll cover the like. I mean, we talk about this a little bit. But so a complete breakdown of the meta game at the tournament was 14% metal foes, 12% ABC, 6% blue eyes, 5% paleo, and then just a whole bunch of like so 5% water, then 5% heroes, 2.5 monarch, Jesus, 2.4 for dark, 2 stellar, So then going into that, so out of 1,000 people, there's 140 metal foes, 120 ABC. Then going into like there's 20 people playing Satellas, 20 people playing Odd Eyes Perform Pal, which I wonder there's 20 Dark Magician people, so okay, Matt, that's to be expected. Still some Cosmo players, which a few of those they got through to the top 32. We're about to talk about some DDD players jumping the gun, and oh wow, there was 9 pure Paleozoic players,
and there was 11 Red Eyes players, four poor people.
And we are the 1%.
And as the YugiTuber inquiry, Glasgow also mentioned. So if there's other 132, so out of all the decks we listed, and we skipped over Lunar Lights and Destiny Heroes, what were the other decks?
The others were people who X3 dropped for the mat.
Yeah, but what?
That was collections of commons that people asked for at the front door, just so they could write down 40 cards to get in for the mat.
Others, not even like Blackwings, had 5 players, and there was a player that was X2 at one point playing Blackwings.
Yeah, he's.
Blackwing was like X3. He was X0 at by round 4 with bloody Dynamis, right?
Yeah. Okay, Dynamis.
Dynamis aren't in this.
No, they are.
Thing. So Lachlan, no. XO.
Dynamist. No. Instead of talking over me, Dynamist. There were 10 of them out of 1,000. Lachlan's in the 1%.
Jesus.
He is part of the 1%.
He is number 1%.
Yeah. Oh, 6 Burning Abyss. How about that? Is there any other. Did they call a different Burning Abyss? No. Oh, no, there we go. Burning Abyss Phantom Knight, 15. People. So yeah, so obviously 20 Burning Abyss players. Anyway, so out of all those smalls of decks, the top 32 stood as 12 Metal Foes, 7 ABCs, 5 Paleo Frogs, 3 Water, 2 Cosmo, 1 Hero, 1 Blue Eyes, 1 Yangzing Metal Foe.
Man, that Blue Eyes player was shit.
He was fairly scrubby, I'll admit. Though he did look good.
King of the Scrubs.
He had a handsome facial hair.
Maxi on the 6th card.
Yangzing Metal Foes, though, what's the point? Like,
your deck's so bad.
No, Danglong's crazy though.
Oh yeah, like the plays are crazy. It's just you don't see it as much. Sorry, continue, Logan.
I just don't see how the deck is bad. Like, it's good. The deck. Don't get me wrong. The deck is good when it goes off. When it opens its hand, it's like, yeah, I can do this, and this. But like, the deck just bricks.
Yeah, true. Off turn back series hot though.
Yeah, but like the guy I was versing around round 9, so I was X2 at the time, and he's like, yeah, my deck's been really consistent. You know, I'm X2 as well, you know. The deck is just so good. And he's like, open up his whole combo, and I'm like, I can't win. Sweet, yep, I scoop. Game 2, he's like, set 1 pass. I'm like, sweet, make my board win. Game 3, he's like, set 1 pass. I'm like, make my whole board win. I talked to him after the 10th round when he still plays. Like, yeah, my deck just bricked another whole 3 games. I'm like, because that's Yang Zing's. That's Yangzing Foes. The deck So congrats to the one guy who made it, but like I don't see how the deck is good.
Yeah. And Cosmo, like I'm pretty sure the Cosmo players were playing, like I haven't seen the deck list yet, but I'm under the impression I heard that they were playing the Kaijus and they do some nice crashing tactics with Cosmo. So I wonder, I wonder how many tops they got last year. That'll be worth seeing at YCS Sydney. At, like, I mean, that should be peak Cosmo as well, right?
Mm.
Yeah, but also Pepe was there, so, you know. Five Paleo Frogs.
Yes, it was.
So five Paleo Frogs out of, like, how much percent representation was there? So 5% representation and 5 out of 32. So that's...
Yeah, so, yeah. 5% representation opposed to 15% in the top 32.
Yeah.
So they performed well, that's for sure.
Deck is... Yeah, deck's really good, but then there was a whole chunk of us that got stuck in the... In what would you call it? Purgatory. Or, like, I was sitting... Like, there was at least, I was with at least three or four other people that we recognize each other, just following each other up on wins, losses, and going, oh, hey, you, hey, fellow paleo. Oh, no, now we're versing each other. Okay. And then, obviously, Metal Foes are people finally cottoned on to that, that they're probably the best deck of the format, I would say, overall. But then.
I don't think so.
Okay, so, Logan. They've won, even when they're underrepresented, they still won. They've won every YCS of the format.
Wait, oh, wait, you mean Paleos or Foes?
Metal Foes.
Oh, sorry, I thought we were talking about Paleo Foes. Metal Foes is a bomb deck.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. Paleos are just really good. It's like they're the Cliff Orts of this year.
Yeah, I just thought you were talking like Last Gal there and saying that Paleo Frog was the best deck, so I could argue with you then.
Yeah, Paleo. So your experience, Andrew, so you going along, pumping along, what was the deck you hated to see the most?
ABC.
Yeah, so there was only 7 ABC that made it to the final, and...
And for the 4th time in a row that day, I got paired against one. And as it turns out, if I had won that game, I would have faced another ABC after it. one of the smaller representations, unfortunately, my toughest matchup, but, you know, I can only be so salty, but... After dodging pretty much ABC all day of day one, 3 in a row for the last rounds of Swiss, I was at least able to beat one of them. And then, first round of top 32, go again. I did win game one with that, which I was very happy about, I also opened the nuts.
And then also, but your game 3, I wouldn't even count as it's just the unlucky thing, right? It's no matter what you did. I don't think you lost that tour, like your deck is... is well constructed. I couldn't eat, like, for what you're intending it to do, there's no other real way to do it, right? And you know, it just doesn't come up sometimes, right? Like, there's nothing you could have done. Like, it's not like you're scrubby or anything.
No, I still, Desires in the last game banished all 3 of my vanillas, making my melodies and alternatives useful, but I still stand by that it's a ridiculously good card.
Yeah, that's
like, this is how it goes sometimes.
I can,
it's a risky play for life.
We all have our Desires horror stories, but then I feel that the Desires success stories go underreported.
Yeah. And also, and similar to what you're saying before, it's better that happened in top 32 than beforehand for me to not get to top 32, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because it was good up until pretty much right up until then. And then I drew into a dead melody and then another Desires, so that was fun.
Did anyone get to see the final game? The final match between Bowden and Duke.
I watched it on YouTube.
It's like
the epitome of dice roll.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, then again, like, see that thing, and Paleo's
are just being cute.
In game 3, what I will say is that despite going second, Bowden made some ridiculously impressive boards and decisions and stuff like that, which just really showed off that higher level of thinking when it comes to the game. Like, honestly, if I stood down the board he did, I probably would have scooped. I just would have scooped. But he made this really, really good board. It was actually a close game, but then it was just all these situations where Duke just had the right answer because he was able to have it there from the previous turn.
Yeah. Also, running 2 full Metal Foes fusion. Completely crazy.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the comment? So I hadn't seen it before. Keep in mind, I'm far from a veteran. In fact, I barely have never played the deck with Metal Foes. But the whole combination of going through your first turn, you're setting full metals from deck. This would be probably turn 2 or 3, sorry. Using Mithrilium to return 2 things from your graveyard, then returning full Metal Foes to your hand so you can use it that turn.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, I had not even thought of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, and you're saying that I've never played the deck, right? Like, yeah, except before Invasion of Vengeance. But I was wondering if it was like, wow, that's crazy.
When you played against people, wait, did you verse any Metal Foes in Nowra? Or...
Yeah, no, I saw it in Nowra. And the Metal Foes I versed on day one, not to sound mean, but I was crushing them way too hard to even get to that point. I kept banishing their scales, and they just didn't get to play Ygir.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a move that's been, like, it's handy to know, but it doesn't come up, you know, all the time, because generally you can save the full Metal Foes till the opponent's next turn anyway. But, I mean, if you're going second, if you're going second, you need that now.
Yep.
Yeah. And like, most people, if they're going first, will use the Mithrilian effect to bounce back the scale they've already used so they can reactivate to pop the Bismo gear.
Yep.
Yep.
But, like, it's always, like, that's another option that you can pop. So, like, to know, like, how you can play around and be like, oh, so in this situation, I have to just pop back my thing to play it. You have to know the game really well because normal players, they won't pick it up. Like,
yeah. I was just the specific use of combination was really impressive as well. To go off the other person's fusions, then they get a special summon back as well.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus Christ, that makes the mirror so scary.
The easiest bit of, like, combination where it's like, okay, in the mirror, I can bring out mine. But they had two Melco players playing next to me in round five, and they both had combination faith up. Someone went to fusion summon, and the other guy had, like, heaps of Melcos in the graveyard and just went, I lose. And he had a way to stop it, and it's like, I didn't say anything. I just looked over and went, oh, you're an idiot. It's like, some players just don't pick up on it, and that's the difference between excelling players that make top 32s or lose just on the bubble and all those really high top players like Yaoways, Bodums, just like that beside the people that go X3 drill.
Yep.
But.
Yeah. And otherwise, it was a pretty fun weekend. Like, I mean, finally having the token booth, we all got our special little token. Yeah.
Yes, we did. If anyone wants to look at it, not from a potato.
Oh, yeah.
Me and another crazy haired fellow. Otherwise,
I'm so close to that, Matt.
Team C4G right there, more or less.
The coverage stuff, which, actually, I mean, that's all we're going to... Like, I'm pretty sure that's all for YCS. Hotels were normal. Like, it was a different feeling one. It didn't seem... I didn't think we would crack 1,000. It didn't seem to have as many people around as last year. But then...
Yeah,
I got that feeling as well. But we actually got more players.
But I think pre-rego was done better this year. I'm pretty sure it was pretty well indicated where it was going to be and stuff. Last year, it was the smallest from what I remember. And we didn't make pre-rego last year, I think.
Nah.
Yeah, well, having the pre-reg at the event was just so much easier because there's so many, like, people could just go book into their hotel, drop their stuff off, go to the pre-reg, come back. Like, it just saved everyone so much hassle.
Yep.
So it was just really well prepared by Konami to do that instead of what they did the 2 years before that.
And then, like, a big negative, in my opinion, was just the tournament ran so slow. And I like, and actually, and if you've been in a different YCS in the States or in Europe, comment below, like, what your experience with just the duration of the event is. It was pretty rough on it. Like, I'm getting old. And it's just like, going into the last round, like, on Saturday, I kind of just spaced a bit and. And that's where, like, there's where a mistake was made. And, yeah, so, it's just that. And also, I just got cranky. I was able to eat pretty well, though. The venue food was great this year.
Oh, yeah, it tasted delicious.
Well, great by the standards of venue food. And so...
Actually, their hot dogs were really good. I had a lot of hot dogs.
And the coverage was reasonably okay. I mean, they admitted the champ... himself, well, the non-champ himself, Andrew. Which, and I thought they would, like, and I was convinced they would, because you're the only blue-eyes player on the top tables at a point undefeated, and then you were the only blue-eyes player in the top 32. I thought they would be really wanting to pimp out the new gold blue-eyes. I thought they might sling you a couple of... All right, okay, here's the deal. If they gave you gold alternatives and gold blue-eyes and said, if you put these in your deck at this point... we'll let you do the feature match. Would you have taken it?
Sure, why not?
Oh, disgusting. That's bribery.
Yeah,
Doesn't mean I have to write on paper. These are the ones I use.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. Because obviously you can legally swap them out. I'm pretty sure you can rarity bump. Also comment below if you can't. I'm pretty sure you can rarity bump mid tournament. It's no thing as long as the design of the.
You're not changing the card you're using.
No, it's. I mean, what do they know, right?
No, so, you'll find those ultis a lot more when you change them.
There we go, and that's the thing. If you were running the gold blue eyes, maybe they wouldn't have stuck together as much. They would have been. It would be at the top. You would have been able to discard them for the melody.
Maybe. Don't maybe.
So there you go. Right.
Don't be shit.
And so, and that's I was thinking why they wouldn't want to be pimping up blue eyes. And then I looked out that this week is actually the release of Pendulum Domination. In my head, they were out next week. This Thursday is the release of the Pendulum Domination Structure deck. Are we keen?
No.
I haven't even looked at what's in it.
Well, no. Not let me tell you what's in it. So we finally get Lamial, Orthros, Chaos King Apocalypse, Beowulf, and, of course, the Synchro Monster, Curse King Siegfried. So Lamial, Orthros, and Siegfried are the Supers, and we knew Beowulf and was already the Ultra, and then they confirmed that Chaos King Apocalypse is the Ultra. Obviously, we just need the Tuner and the and Siegfried, and DDDs are ready to party-ish.
It's legit.
Couple of things is they don't have the Necro Slimes in the deck. The deck list got put out, and no Necro Slimes. So go back and dig them out.
What were they from again? Were they Dimensions of Chaos?
Yeah, Docs. Yeah, they're both in Docs, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, maybe they're split apart. They're both in Docs, yeah. I wasn't sure if they split them, but yeah. What was the thing? And then we got Genghis. Then obviously Genghis isn't in it, so you have to get it from the tin, and then whatever the other crappy Synchro one was from the other tin.
It's just very similar to how they did the ABC. We got probably about 20, 24 cards from the structure deck, and then you had to outsource all the rest of the deck. That's what they should be doing with most of these structure decks, in my opinion. Give them the core like this that they need, and then outsource the best parts, the better parts.
Okay, ABCs, right? How Konami envisioned the deck running is ABCs with XYZs. All right,
cool
like
joke, bro.
I wonder if R&D ever thought, hey, this works with Photon Thrasher.
Surely.
That's the thing. Like
surely, gold and silver were meant to go with red, blue, and green, right?
And that's the thing. And how dick is that? Like that Yugi's monsters are a staple in Kuiper's deck.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like,
no, it's great.
But that's the thing. Maybe gold and silver should say gadgets and not that. That's the nerf we need. That's the errata we need.
We don't need an errata. The deck's not the best deck.
Yeah, but
so many people complain that ABCs are too good. Banned hit Terraforming to one, hit Hanger to one. No, the deck's not that good. Like, if I don't see Hanger, I don't win. Like, it's just so bad without it. And I played it at YCS.
But I digress. So then the other thing to note of the deck is bloody Tour Guide, and we're not getting a Tour Guide reprint. So.
We don't need it.
Yeah, when was the last
We don't need
But Tour Guide wasn't reprinted recently either. It was tin. Battle Pack.
The tin Battle Pack, Secret, Ultra, Ultimate. We got so many variants, we don't need another one. Just hope and give me another Max A reprint.
Yeah, which we and then they removed Reoccurring Nightmare, which who cares? To put in, the two forbidden two dark contracts and forbidden contracts that they were missing. So, woo. Otherwise, so you guys aren't going to play DDDs. Do you rate it going into next format? You think it will see a fair amount of representation or whatever the next YCS is, which I actually haven't done my research on.
I rate it. Like, don't get me wrong, the deck is amazing. The deck is going to be the best deck for 3 weeks, and then it'll plateau back out to irrelevancy. In three weeks, we get Zodiacs, we get Grass is Always Greener on the other side. Like, we get those two cards. Oh, sorry,
Grass is also tastier.
I love how you call them Zodiacs, and then use the TCG translation for lawn mowing. Instead of
Say Zodiacs.
I say Zodiacs, and I say lawn mowing.
Well, perfect. I'm sorry for you and people who know you.
Zodiacs is a cool pun. Get out of here.
Anyway, so those two decks will out these. Like, those two decks were outclassed DDs, because, like, DDDs put up a fight against ABCs, like, can go toe-to-toe with ABCs. So DDDs just go toe-to-toe with this meta that we're in right now. But, like, no deck matches Zodiacs.
I feel like it could, though. Like, what if, scenario, you set up board with ABC, they make Invoker, Special Summon Molmerat, Chain, Banish Molmerat.
So you banish that Molmerat, right? But they still haven't even used their normal summon. They can still use a spell. Like, that first Molmerat you banished was off a one card combo they opened with the Speedrun Tap Drop.
Unless they're seeing
they just ask four to five cards.
What's the follow up though?
So they have the normal summon left, but then that means their board is infinitely weaker, and you still got the Buster on field.
Yeah, I see your points, but like.
Without a hectic ban list, I really don't see ABCs and a few of the other decks becoming irrelevant. And that's what happened in the OCG. Like, to be fair, yes, Zodiacs took over pretty quickly. But swiftly after that, we had Hanging go to one, Tree Toad go to one, Kieran get banned, etc., etc. That's their way of saying, like, all right, time to shuffle along. Depending on how harsh they actually hit us here in the TCG, then, I don't know, we might still have a very large mixed format.
Toes dropped off. Yeah. But that's Harpy's Feather Duster. So that's neat. Yeah. Like, I still reckon Paleo and that could do some damage because the big thing is missing is bloody their Feather Duster, right?
True.
Yeah.
True. Well, what's the worst you got to worry about here? Twin Twister, really.
Yeah. Freaking Twin Twister. Limit that son. Oh. Limit Twin Twister, bring back Harpies. Done. Yeah, that's a good idea. Even though I said no ban list talk. Anyway, we'll go into
ban list talk.
Speaking of the OCG, so there's a whole bunch of stuff for Maximum Crisis coming out. I don't remember what month they said the pack was for us, but it's down the line. I mean, we'll do our Raging Tempest preview stuff in a couple of weeks. But it's interesting to know that we're getting Ghost Ash and Spring Breeze. So it's a new Ghost. We call them the Ghost archetype, right?
I think that's the only consistent part of them, right?
Yeah. Ghost Axe and Spring
Ghost
Breeze.
Girls.
Yeah, the Ghost Girls. Ghost Grills.
I feel like it's like from some sort of like orphanage where they all burnt down and died and they all come back to haunt card games.
I knew the other reason I held this with me.
They're all zombies.
The power of Christ can...
No, they're not. No, they're not all zombies. Ghost Ogres suck you.
Oh, yeah, you can summon up E-Telly.
Because you get E-Telly.
Maybe she did it with...
So they were all different, and like, except it seems like they decided to stick with Zombie for Ghost Ash.
Yeah.
Maybe she started the fire with her telekinesis. Anyway, so Ghost Ash and Spring Breeze. Ghost Ash, oh my god. It's a level 3 fire zombie tuner effect. Monster, 0 attack, 1800 defense. That's about right. You can only use the effect of Ghost Ash once per turn. During other player's turn, except during the damage step, when your opponent activates a card or effect that moves cards, cards in brackets, from a deck to the hand or graveyard, or special summons monsters, in brackets, from the deck, you can discard this card, negate that effect. You can only use this effect of Ghost Ash once per turn. Didn't they already say that? Yeah, okay. So, they translated that bit twice. So, it's a really good hand.
It's a cat.
So when it moves cards from deck to the graveyard, so it stops the mill, it stops adding, or special summons monsters from the deck.
I mean, it's an okay card.
Yeah, so obviously it's a hand trap to counter desires. Lol.
It's so good.
Yeah, like...
Card's good.
But then, obviously... Okay, this thing, unlike Reapers, this isn't a neg as much because you're taking... It's a one-for-one card because, in theory, you're negating the one card. So, finally...
Yeah, interesting.
It's a one-for-one, and it's not as conditional as thingy.
Interesting thought. Is this a side deck card getting ready for Zodiacs when they make Invoker?
You can only use the one that's not during the battle.
Which, I mean, from OCG perspective, like, Invoker still their main play? Oh, no, yeah, because they do
all
play.
It stops Molmerat.
Yeah, it stops any effect.
It stops a lot of stuff.
It's so good. This card's great. Buy them now. Buy them as soon as they come out.
Yeah, so obviously this will be a secret rare as always, and we'll go through the same rigmarole. And
I mean,
but I think this lives up to the hype. Obviously, and Ghost Ogre is going to be, I think Ghost Ogre is going to be pretty damn good going into format called? Mole Rat format. Rat format.
Rat. Oh, that's a hot name. Rat format.
Yeah, well, obviously, I've been working on it. Haven't I, Washi? Sleeping in a food
bowl. You like your rats?
Yeah. They don't like me, though, especially when I haven't given them food.
They just love Nicole better. Yeah, Nicole's their new master.
But, once again, off topic. All right, so that's a reasonable card. I rate it. As not as highly as Logan does, maybe, but I rate it still.
No, the card's shit. Sell it to me for $5, and then I'll sell it back to you in like 2 weeks for 50.
High low ball on Logan, they call him. Alright, so we got an email over the summer, our summer of course, your winter, and it's from Drudy. Do you know him?
Oh, Drudy.
Yeah, Drudy. Right.
Back at it again.
Hey guys, Drew here. I had an idea for a possible change Konami might consider making for the game that could fix some of their problems that continue to pop up throughout the history of Yu-Gi-Oh. What would you think if Konami made a blanket statement that all extra deck monsters are limited to one? It stopped things like the wind-up loop, Dante problems, Lugia problems, Toad after Toad. It would force people not to waste a boss monster and would stop degenerate decks that continue to pop up in Yu-Gi-Oh's past, present, and possible future. I'm aware some decks are completely extra deck based and there I can, so it's a nerf to them and you can always make them blah, 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 blah. Yeah, thank you. It's quite a mouthful to read. What do you reckon, Andrew, about boss extra deck monsters being limited to one?
I feel like every single trap in the game would have to go to one as well. Because you could just have triple negates, like things like three Swarm Strikes, and you just wait for that one monster, and then the game's over. I can see what they're thinking about, but I think that would kill the game.
Yeah, it's... Yep. If there was a blanket rule that... I don't think this should be it. I know what they're going for, and also, like, we watched the show, like... Okay, so, watching... The original Yu-Gi-Oh's, so through to, I'll even say 5Ds, there's only ever one extra deck monster, for the most part. And there's just generally, normally one monsters, except for, you know, Blue Eyes. But then we even went into, in Zeal, I think they started doing Zeal and Arc 5. They've both done, I'm sorry, but did they call it Zexalin over here?
They call it Zexal over here, yeah.
And Arc 5, they have multiple extra deck monsters, and it's a thing where you can see them do meta stuff, right? And, yeah, like, so obviously the show is caught up to where the card game actually is, and that the game operates in a crazy way where it's just like, yeah, that monster, they both look the same, but, you know.
Yeah, they're different now.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's it, but I guess monsters aren't unique, right?
This will require 2.5 card.
Yeah, I think that would swing the game in such a direction that only things like rank 4 toolbox decks would be viable. Because they're the ones, they kind of thrive off a Highlander type approach where you can kind of just run one of everything and you go from there. Including things like Dagasta Emerald, so you can put it back and then just summon it again and it's almost the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what happened to you against ABCs?
Yep. Except it wasn't because of one-offs, because they went through all three anyway and then they're like, well, let's make Dagasta and do it all again.
Well, like, I think if this was to happen, right, like, you look at the Blue-Eyes decks from now, they didn't require themselves to go into XCs and Synchro Summons. They could just play, here's a 3K beta. Okay, here's a 3K beta. Here's another 3K beta. I use my one Synchro and I'll make one Spirit Dragon. Okay. But, like, they didn't need the extra deck to go against, like, Melfos or ABCs. So if ABCs and Melfos got nerfed to where they could only have one extra deck monster of each, like, Blue Eyes would just be so much better than them.
True.
Like, and then it wouldn't bounce again, because, like, extra decks would just suffer. Like, the Quasar decks would suffer.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true.
Good. Turn. Good. Get rid of triple backs here. Even though I didn't lose to it. It just encourages craziness. Alright, is there any blanket rules you guys would consider? That you would like... If there's a blanket rule you would implement, off the top of your head, is there...
What? Actually, ban Lavagon, because I lost to a Malfo player.
Blanket rules.
Yep. This is a blanket rule. Everyone should not be allowed to play Lavagon. Fuck that card. Fuck it up now.
I don't know. Maybe limit how many times you can special summon in one turn.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Well, there's a field spell.
Sometimes. Like, maybe limit it to, like, four or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just when you see something
he starts counting how many times he special summons with blue eyes in his head.
Yeah, absolutely. Soul Charge just counts as one still.
Well, Summon Paragon.
And then I only overlay two more, and I might have done my alternative. Like, I'll leave the fourth one for maybe the alternative I used earlier in the turn.
Oh, well, I mean, like, Light Swan Minerva is another thing, right? Like, as an example.
Yeah.
Oh, but Bragg, then he can't carry out with his...
we'll do that in the final bit. But as you're saying, Logan?
Well, like, as you're going with his counting, he can't tag out with his Spirit Dragon then if he does that.
No, it's off turn. It doesn't count.
Oh, God.
It counts as a summon for that turn.
He thought of
so as long as I don't off turn summon more than four times, it's fine.
Yeah.
This is all the theory testing you did to Top Fair 2. What if I only summoned four times a turn?
Yeah, so how the elite players do it, right?
Yeah.
Which.
No, but as I was saying, there's a card called Summon Baroner, which is a field spell. And it's like, you can only summon three times per turn, and like as soon as you make the third summon, your turn's over. So like, you can't even attack that turn if you do three summons.
Jeez.
So it's like, it's an interesting thing where if you wanted to do that type of route, you could just make that like a permanent field. Like, you know how they have like the field spell in the anime, where it's like the action field spell, where it's like crossover? Like, you could just make it that start as like a different like type of dueling. Like, you know how we have generation duels?
Yeah.
Yep.
You could go... Summon Jewels, where Summon Barrier is the only field spell that can be played, and it's always active on the field.
There's your Union Hanger limit you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. You can't play everything in that
deck. But in summary, I think it's a bad idea.
Which, it's so weird. The anime always introduces, like, weird... And it was interesting, like, over the summer, we didn't cover the new anime announcement, and we had predicted it. I'm pretty sure it was actually public knowledge, and I just wasn't looking deep enough. So 5Ds introduced introduced speed duels, right? But then also introduced synchro summoning. Synchro summoning is a big thing that we got in the game, and then speed duels was always an afterthought. And then I don't care about Zeal or Zexal or whatever. And then we got action duels in Arc 5, where I'm pretty sure I've said this on the podcast before. Apologies. So yeah, you got pendulum summoning, but then you had action duels where you're getting action cards, and that you can play them as quick play spells in either turn whenever you get it. And so it's always weird that, like, there's always this side mechanic and side way to play the game that the Konami never cashed in on. Probably for the worse as well. Another, like, a blanket rule I was thinking is maybe, you know, figuring out their archetype bullshit and stop combining them.
Ooh, yeah, we did discuss this on the way back from YCS about how people shouldn't be allowed to just chuck in three Vimbuku and a Kirin into Malphite, and then suddenly it's Magic Spectre foes. But, like, I don't mind it. You know, if it works in Pendulum, it works.
And then, I mean, obviously, we also covered Speedroids into ZDX. I don't know what that sound is. It's killing me. So, yeah, otherwise, that's just a rule. Like, I doubt they'll do it. We'll see what they do for the next anime for rules and stuff. Logan, are you going to... So, looking forward to next week, are you going to do some tournament action with the DDDs?
I'm sure I'm versing some, but I'm not going to be playing them. Saving my money for fucking Zodiac format.
Yeah, and
I'm not wasting like $400 for 3 weeks.
Nah, and I think Andrew's he's onto a good thing, and he'll stick with the blue eyes because he's a scrub. Oh, that's probably him in progress.
Oh.
He's gone through he's cracked through my banter. Nah, he can't hear. Anyway, that was a good one. Sell all your cards. That's our Market Watch coverage for the week. Right, thank you very much, Logan.
It's always the pleasure.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Brad, we're TK, we forget. Behind the wire.